podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Mike Hall, Steve Geller, Charlie Long, and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line live from Chicago, the Cajun Cannon himself, Bobby Hebert. Bob, before you start talking, I'm going to tell you one word after looking at the schedule. Tough.
Well, tough in November for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think we're winning at Chicago or Cincinnati. You know, it all depends if Joe Burrow's playing. But, Mike had a little adventure today. It was in the 60s of all things. You know, you always have a first time in your life. Not necessarily is on my bucket list. Next weekend, I'm going to Indianapolis 500.
Oh, awesome.
Super,
getting,
man.
The all-access pass. I can't wait. You know, you look at, like, Tiger Stadium, what holds 104,000. There'll be like 300,000, I don't know, 20, 30,000 people in the stands. And I got all access. I can't wait. This is a bucket list. Get to do that. But today, you know where I went? Of all things, the first, I went to a women's lacrosse game between Colorado and Northwestern to make the Final Four. Northwestern won in overtime, double overtime, 13-12. And I was a guest of Stu Gotts. You know
Stu
Gotts.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And his daughter plays
okay.
College lacrosse at Northwestern. So it was unbelievable right there on Lake Michigan and stuff. And something to experience. I don't know all the rules, but you can always pick out who's the studs on the teams. You know,
that's
I don't
true.
Know anything about women lacrosse, and I'm like, all I know is that number 25 is good. and then you can see the stud player for Colorado. It's amazing that if you kind of know sports, you could pick out within a matter of minutes who's the stud players.
Bob, to start the season off, they didn't do you a lot of favors. At Detroit
No. And
then at Baltimore, you talk about two physical teams that you haven't matched up too well against.
I think we're going to be 0-2, and I'm not going to get discouraged. To win at Detroit and at Baltimore, that's going to be tough. The Saints have always played good, though, in Baltimore, but I don't know. The Ravens might be the most underachieving team considering their quarterback. I just think that's going to be tough. But come on, we got to take care of the Raiders at home. And then you got the reopening of the Dome with the 20th anniversary on Monday against the Falcons. No, we got to win that. And the Vikings, who in the hell is their quarterback? So I think we could be 0-2, then all of a sudden be 3-2. Now, at New York, I think we're always going to have one of those games that we got to lay an egg.
Yeah,
we should beat the Giants. You know, but at New York, I think that's going to be tough. And hell yeah, I thought maybe we'd be playing in Paris. I thought we'd be playing maybe the Browns, but the Steelers. I hope Aaron Rodgers plays. I want more drama. And I want us to beat the Steelers. And then you got the bye. So I don't know. I'm looking at the first seven games. I think I'd be disappointed if we're not at least 4-3. I think possibly 5-2, and it's going to be tough come November, you know, after that bye. You know, we get Cleveland at home, we should win. Listen, our defense is going to have to shut down Cleveland because I know the Browns could play defense. That could be a challenge for our offense. Look, we took care of Carolina twice last year. No matter where we were playing, we won the game. I don't care if they won the NFC South. We were better than them, so we should win that game. That's when I really think – come like November 27 at Chicago, at Cincinnati, Green Bay at home, and at Carolina. To me, that's the meat of the schedule right then. And you got to be able to weather the storm, but I think a great opportunity for us to finish strong. Okay, you got at Tampa, division game. You got the Cardinals. Oh, we could beat the Cardinals. And we played them at home last year. We should have started. We should have won that game. But woulda, coulda, shoulda, whatever. Then at Atlanta, close out Tampa Bay. I always say this. For sure, you got to go 500 in the NFC South. So that's 3-3. But then if you're really on top of things, then you're a 4-2 type team. Now, I think besides the NFC West, I think the NFC North is the toughest division, top to bottom. I think Detroit's going to bounce back. The Bears, look where they're at, the expectations they have. The Vikings, they got a good team, but, you know, who's the quarterback? So then you look at Green Bay. Green Bay is always going to be tough, but we get them in the Superdome. Can we have that dome field advantage? So I don't know. It looks very promising, the schedule. like I said, if we can, you know, because I don't know. I think we've kind of threw Spencer Rattler to the wolves last year. I mean, considering, I don't know if we could beat that team. Even, you know, let's say if Chuck would have played, I don't think he'd have made that much of a difference. But I think the schedule is kind of favorable, and we should have another, you know, skins on the wall by the time, you know, come November 22nd at Chicago. And hopefully, you know, even if we have a little slide there at Chicago, at Cincinnati or Green Bay, and then you got to go in at Carolina. We've always played good in Charlotte, that we're able to weather that. And that's how you have a chance. I can tell you what, the start of the season at Detroit, at Baltimore, if we won and won, no, then I'm going to be tooting that horn that, no, it's a possibility we can get to 10 wins. I'm not saying we're going to get to 10 wins, but if we won and won, boy, you got to build on that momentum. And when you're playing the Raiders and Atlanta on Monday night and the Vikings and Giants, Steelers, all that's all very, very, to me, winnable games.
So, Bobby, Deuce brought up something, and it was an excellent point, and I really want to get a quarterback's standpoint, because you go into training camp and you're working on stuff and you're working on stuff, you're working on install, Tyler Shuck, new weapons, all this stuff, and you're really kind of just doing your basic install. But the truth of the matter is you're going to be at Detroit, their season opener, Ford Field, inside one of the loudest buildings possible, followed up by M&T Stadium at Baltimore, another incredibly loud stadium. So in the back of your mind in training camp and preseason is silent count, you know, first snap. Like, how are you dealing with the crowd early? You've got to, that has to be addressed in the preseason training camp. So it's not your typical start because of not just playing on the road. You could have played, at Arizona week one. It wouldn't have been a big deal. But at Detroit, right, at Baltimore, that's a factor.
Well, Hoss, think about this. Okay, we kick off the preseason. I think that's good teams to play because that's very challenging. Jaguars were a playoff team. The Rams, well, no, to me, the Rams are right behind the Seahawks to represent probably the NFC. And the Cowgirls, they're going to have to do something to prove differently. But we play in August the 15th, Jacksonville at home in the Superdome. We don't come back to the Superdome till September the 27th.
Yeah.
But think about, we're going to have to be road warriors even though it is preseason. So what it's telling me, the preseason schedule, Hoss, is that we're definitely going back to Irvine.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I don't know when, but it looks like, okay, you practice against the Rams or maybe you practice against the Chargers, play the Rams. And I don't know if the Dallas is breaking camp, but they're always in Oxnard, California. And I don't know if you'd maybe leave California, go straight to Dallas to play that preseason game. And that date's still to be announced. But then you don't have the first game at Detroit. It's not till September the 13th. I'm just telling you, I'm going to be so optimistic if we 1-1 after two games. And I will not be discouraged if we 0-2.
No, I agree.
Now then, we're going to have to take care of business.
And I think if you look at 2 years ago at Irvine, when they went and played a preseason game in Arizona, went back to Irvine, went from Irvine to San Francisco, and then broke camp. So let's say you play Jacksonville, go to Irvine, play the Rams, play Dallas, but you're still, you know, in Irvine. So it's been done already by this team 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, you just go break camp, go Irvine. When you break camp in California, you go straight to Dallas.
Right.
Then you come to Dallas, then you come to New York.
Come home.
Yeah.
But you're
so
right.
That makes too much sense. And listen, the fans, they love it when we're at home, but you're trying to get the most accomplished out of practice. You know, we play indoors. You're dealing with the heat index and all that. How can you grow as a team and get better? I'm telling you, it feels like football weather in the summer. You know how it is. You can get a lot done.
Well, you're going to have the first 3 weeks.
Practice.
The first 3 weeks of camp are going to be in Metairie, and then you have a home preseason game. It's just been different. We've been on the road for the last 4 or 5 years early, somewhat because of the renovation, right, to buy yourself a little extra time. Not always, but it just feels like it's different this year. We're opening at home and playing the final two on the road.
Yeah, and then we always look at this, primetime games. Oh, the Saints only got one Monday night game or one primetime game. You know, y'all look at Thursday night, anytime primetime, Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. But the Saints have to win something. You got to start winning something like they did with Drew Brees. That's how you get 4 or 5 primetime games. And if Tyler Shuck, if he grows as a quarterback, then what do we want to see in primetime? Stud quarterbacks. I think Tyler Shuck has a chance to be the cream of the crop in the NFC South at quarterback. I mean, I think he's better than Lil Bryce. I'll still not get over Lil Bryce with that backpack going to training camp like he was 14 years old. I can't get over that. And then I look at Baker Mayfield. I mean, he took a step back. Baker's tough as could be. I love Baker Mayfield. But he got off to a great start. And how he was, where is he going to be at this year? And then who's the Falcons quarterback? I don't like that stability. I think we're in a great position, great opportunity for Tyler Shuck. But if you can weather the storm in the beginning, hang in there tough, keep the team together, great opportunity. But, come on, that's going to be like a spiritual game again. 20th anniversary, Monday Night Football against Atlanta. It doesn't get any better than that. And then you always, because you're playing quarterback, you always look at inclement games or potential inclement games. I mean, it's not like we play the Bears or at Cincinnati in mid-December or late December. I think that's kind of favorable in a sense. At Chicago, November 22nd, it could be cold, but not frozen tundra cold. And the same thing at Cincinnati, November 29th. I think that game could even be cold, but in Chicago. Other than that, yeah, it could be cold in Charlotte, but it's not like you're going up to Lambeau Field at Green Bay. So, no, I think from a quarterback-friendly perspective, not that Tyler Shuck can't play in real cold weather. I think that's favorable in that regard as far as playing on the road. You know, I think we've been able to be at times good enough road warriors. Now we're going to get back that dome field advantage. Remember, I always told you as we were playing, Mike and I was talking about this too, and Steve, everybody, Charlie, that when we're playing 16 games more, this has always been in my head that, okay, can you take care of home field, dome field advantage? Can you go? You don't have to go undefeated. Can you be like 6-2? And I remember Nemora would say, well, we just got to go 500 on the road, 4-4. And all of a sudden, we got double-digit wins. We had 10-6 tight team. You know, twice we won 12 games, won 11 games, 10 games. That's how you get to that. That's why, you know, people poo-poo looking at the schedule, but I guarantee you the players do. And they look at the opportunities. I'm just telling you, I don't know if it's ever been this tough to open the season that you're going on the road back-to-back. It's not – now, when you think about it, it's not like we're going on the road at the beginning of the year at the Giants. I think the Lions had a lot of bad luck with injuries and all. Or you might look at, like, or even a division game at Carolina, whatever it might be. No, Detroit and Baltimore are still considered contenders in the NFC and the AFC. That's why I said it's going to be tough to get going. That's why you got to have the right leadership on the team to keep the team together. And still look at the light at the end of the tunnel. It's not the train coming at you, but it's a light of hope. Can we all of a sudden? So what if we 0-2? How about we go win 3 in a row? How about that all at home? How about we beat the Raiders, beat Atlanta on Monday night, and you beat the Vikings at home? All of a sudden, you're feeling good about yourself. You're 3-2, and you're going out the road at the Giants before you have to go to Paris.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, talked about winning at home. Mike Austin and I were talking about this. Over the last 3 years, they 10 wins, 15 losses at home.
That's terrible. That's unacceptable.
I agree.
No. Listen, 10 and 15, you said, Mike?
10 wins, 15 losses.
25 games, that's terrible. We should be at least 15 and 10, if not 15 and 8. Is my math right then? No,
17 and 8.
Yeah. You would have to
that. Yeah, 17 and 8. Yeah, 17 and 8. Yeah, no, that has to change. I don't care who's the coach. Who's playing? You got to get that nation excited again about, I want to be in that number in the dome. And you got to take care of the home field where teams fear to come to New Orleans. And you know what? We don't even have to worry about, we're going to have to do a silent count. It's so freaking loud that we no matter how we practice the loudspeakers before the game, it's so loud we got to plan to do the silent count. And that's how you get the advantage, maybe get an extra sack, cause them to jump off sides and all that. But no, that does make a difference. And no, that's unacceptable. And I'm sure Coach Moore would tell the team, this is where we got to get off to a great start. And I think that's favorable. Like I said, the Raiders at home, The Falcons on a Monday night, everyone's going to be pumped for that, and the Vikings at home. That you can win three games in a row at home right there.
And so, and to that point, you said better start because other than the Atlanta game, your home games are noon, right? So where does it? What does LSU? What does LSU do the night before? People are going to walk in there at 11:30, 11:45, right? And it's usually on some of those games, and I'm there. It's like fans are going, "All right, get me into it. Do something." And the Saints have struggled in the first quarter. That's where they've struggled.
Then they won't worry about how much sleep they lost.
Right.
Because the traffic trying to get out of Baton Rouge is if LSU's winning, man, I'm not going to get home until 2:30 in the morning. And then you don't want them showing up in the middle of the second quarter. So that's a no. We got to get there early. We could, catch up maybe later in the week, take a nap, whatever you're going to do. But know that little things like that makes a difference because we all know Saturday night in Tiger Stadium, now they're going to have afternoon games, but a lot of times LSU wants to play on that Saturday night. And those 12 noon kickoffs, you know what I love? I love the Raiders kickoff. It's not prime time, but that's a game the nation's watching. 325 on CBS. I always like those kickoffs because – I don't know. Sometimes I'd have nightmares before the game, and I'd be like, "Oh no, I didn't hear my alarm," and then I'm in my dream. I'm late. I'm late to the stadium, and I'm going to get dressed. Where's my equipment? I don't. Somebody took my helmet.
That's my helmet.
You know.
Yeah. You're right about the I missed the Raiders game at 3:25, but it's like the Saints' offense and defense in that first quarter give the fans. Don't play uphill all the time. It felt like last few years, they've been playing uphill, letting the other team score first, not scoring first, and it's just uphill. They can't afford to do that.
You preach it to the choir now, Hoss. And Mike will tell you, every time we did the coaches show with Coach Moore, I'd be asking the same question every Monday night. How can we get off the fast start in the first quarter? No, and he would say, Bob, we're trying basically, and it's like, no, we got outscored 4-1. It was 100. I think we scored one touchdown the whole first quarter, the whole season. You can't have that. You got to get off to fast starts, then you give the fans something to cheer for.
Bobby, when you look at Tyler Shough going into year two now, sophomore season from him, pretty good showing his rookie year, but what are you looking for? He's got a lot more weapons now, obviously, this season. The offensive line got to stay healthy, but what do you want to see from Shough in year two as a Saint?
I think Shuck's going to be fine. I think we got to keep the offensive line healthy. Mike always talks about the injuries on the offensive line. No, we got to have that continuity. As great as Drew Brees was, first ballot Hall of Famer, you look at Colston, we love Jimmy Graham, and you look at Reggie Bush, Darren Sproles, you look at Ingram, all Sproles, whoever we've had at running back, it all starts up front. When we kicked ass and we were always a top five offense, if not number one for sure, like top three, we were in that number. Everyone's following the ball, but our offense was kicking ass. Our center and our two guards, oh, my God, we were the best trio. When you look at center, guard, there was nobody better than us when you look at Jari Evans, Carl Nix. And we've always had stud centers. I look at Max Unger. I think that deal was pretty good, even though we gave up Jimmy Graham, how that worked out. That's why I'm telling you, we need a challenge offensive line. They got to get it going from the get-go, and they got to set the tone. And I think if we could do that, If they controlling their don't you have to do more than you have to just do your damn job. Do your job. Then we'll be able to run the ball. And I think if we can run the ball, then you can have success with Chuck and play action, all that. Even with all the weapons, the new weapons. We got new toys for Tyler Shough. But I still think that when you utilize it, play action, how do they honor the play action? Well, you got to be able to run and then just winning up front. I'm a big Brandon Staley fan. I think as defensive coordinator, if he's going to get another head coaching opportunity, I think, because he's going to make the Saints defense, I think they could build upon where they were last year, top 10 defense, right on the cusp of that. If we around there, and ultimately you always look at scoring defense. That's another thing. When you move the ball in the red zone, we can't be selling with field goals. You got to get touchdowns. You can't average in the teens. If we lose a game like 20-17, or like, 23 to 20. We only scored 20. I'd say shame on our offense. You know, if we don't want an opponent, it's like 20 points or less. That's how you get the double-digit wins, and I think our defense is capable of doing that.
Bob, I'm going to take a guess. Your prediction now would be 9-8 for this team. Your prediction.
Yes. I'm going 9-8 because, you know, I'm looking at that glass half full, and that's a big difference because 9-8, that's what it might take to win the NFC South. That's why I'm taking that, and it's a winning record. You know, it's a winning record. I don't know if Vegas, as I hear the music go to the break, I don't know. I think during the draft, what is it like, the over and under 6.5? Now is it 7.5?
It has now, come up. It has come up either 7 or 7.5, depends on where you place your money.
Yeah. See, that's more right to me than that 6.5. I say, yeah, shame on us if we can't go 7-10. You know, so that's why I say take the over. But I'm looking even more optimistic in that, more 8-9, 9-8. And if we mature as a team, more 9-18. And then if things are really falling our way, you know, all of a sudden we're taking away the football. You know how you beat at Detroit and at Baltimore? How about we end up +1 in the turnover margin? You know, protect the football, take it. That's how you have those upsets on the road. But, that's what it would take for us to get, like, the 10 wins, I believe.
Bob, thanks so much. We'll get you back on. We'll talk a lot more about the schedule and everything. And Babe told me to tell you this. He's cooking steaks for the champs in track and field 4A, first time ever for Sot LaFouche. So he said, whatever we got to do, you got to go there when he cooks the steaks.
Oh, but I guarantee you I'm going Sot LaFouche. Listen, we try to win a state championship track and field. They win a state championship. Unbelievable. And the great Charlie Como, Coach Como, who was the defensive back coach, the trainers, to tape our ankles and all. We won state in 77. He just passed away. That's in honor of him because he laid the foundation. Sot LaFouche, especially distance runners, they've always been legit in track and field.
No question about it. Thank you, Bob. We'll talk a little bit later, buddy. Take
who
care.
Who that?
Who that?
All right. Talk to y'all later. Who that? Go Saints.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.